And let me also welcome you to the Cotton Ginning Conference. My name is Tommy Valco, and I'm the Tech Transfer Coordinator located in Stoneville, Mississippi. And as we discussed earlier, working strictly now for ARS instead of NEFA. I'd also like to acknowledge my co-author. I don't know if anybody knows him, but he's sitting right in here next to me, Harrison Ashley. And we wanted to at least just start the session off with some general basic information on technology, cotton ginning trends, the identifying the consolidation of gins, the increasing in ginning capacity, the utilization of bell packaging materials, wrapping, automated wrapping systems, module handling systems, and all that. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. And first, I want to put together some of the numbers that we're seeing across the gin. This is from 1970. You can see there's a lot of variability in the bales ginned per year. This is looking from, again, 1970 to our estimated crop, which is this year, I think at about 17.4 million bales, but I think that's an estimated and it might go down. The yellow line is a five-year average, a running average, and even though we use that to try to normalize or to kind of take out some of the lows and highs, you can see it varies quite a bit over the years as well. 2012, like I said, we had 17.4 million bales, and that's an estimated number with a five-year average of about 15 million bales of cotton. Here is a graph of gin numbers showing the average volume per gin is on the light blue line, which I've shown right here. And you can see there's a lot of ups and downs on that, but it has continued to increase over the years. And then the green line is the number of gins we have in the United States. 2011, we had 682 gins, basically ginning a little bit over 22,000 bales per gin. 2012, and we had an excellent crop this year. As far as yield goes, with only estimated 663 gins, and they're ginning up to 26,000 bales per gin. And you can see that's been one of our highest ginning levels back here in 2004, 2005. We had numbers up to that point as well. Taking a closer look at our gin numbers, and this is gin numbers versus productivity. I have the number of gins on the left-hand side and then the total bales on the right. Throughout 2000, 2003, we had fairly steady production, but you can see we had a pretty steady drop in gins during that time period, basically a result of gins adding new technology, consolidation of gins, and this sort of thing to increase their annual capacity. Our big years, 2004, 2005, where we had a lot of acres planted and we had a big production increase. This is where we got over the 20 million bale crops. We can see that the number of gins leveled off quite a bit. But when that bubble sort of popped and our acreage started going down, and you can see the pretty much steady reduction of gins over that time period. In the last 3 years, things have been pretty stable. You can see the line has kind of flattened out a little bit. We're only losing about 25 to 35 gins per year. Of course, part of that can be attributed to our yield increases. Here's this is a pounds per acre over the U.S. From 1980 all the way up to our estimated pounds per acre, which was I think right at about 800, a little bit over 800 pounds per acre. You can see during this time period, about 2003, we kind of reached a new plateau in cotton production, and things have kind of leveled off around that 800 pound per acre mark. Who are our competitors? I think it's always good for us to know you know, who we're competing against in the global market. You can see the major cotton producers. This is from 2009 to 2012. China with their 30 million plus bale crops. India with about 25 million. And then the U.S. is running around 15 million, something like that. And then Pakistan at 10. Of course, we don't know what 2013 is going to bring us, and whether if Pakistan possibly increases their production and we reduce ours significantly, we could drop into the number four spot as far as world cotton production. Now, let me kind of get to the heart of the presentation and talk a little bit about trends that we're seeing in the cotton ginning industry, and you as ginners and folks within the ginning system, industry know too well. Of course, none of us would have really imagined how fast the round module system took over to our gins. I guess it was basically introduced kind of officially in 2008, was one of the first years. And within that short time period, we've gotten up to 30-40% of our modules are being packaged in from the field in round module systems. Of course, that has changed how we deliver cotton, handle cotton in the field, as well as how we deliver it to the gin. Most of us have adopted module trucks by changing out the beds to be less aggressive with the plastic wrapped round modules. And then others are using flatbed trailers. We've got some flatbed trailers there that are now carrying up to 10 rounds, which is almost equivalent to three modules on a truck. So this is significantly changing how we're transporting cotton from the field to the gin, and also changing the cost structure. I guess the kind of sad thing is what we saw in Mississippi, at least it's sad for us, is that we had a lot of cotton being produced in Mississippi, and it was all going up north. Some of it was going to a gin in Arkansas, and the other to a gin in Tennessee. And you just see those flatbed trucks headed up the highway. Of course, what has that changed at the gin? You can see we have different systems that we have developed and put together for opening the round module opening systems. There's automated systems, kind of semi-automatic systems, and then we have the more manual lift and flip type systems, and then, of course, the old standard box cutter on a stick. All these are technologies that I think are still evolving. We as an industry have to look very closely as how we're handling the round modules in the gin, and make sure, and one of the big issues we'll be talking about later is plastic and plastic contamination in our cotton. What else has happened? Well, of course, most gins, many of them have adopted automated strapping systems. Signode, LP Brown, Samuel all have systems available. This has really been able to reduce the number of people behind the gin stands. And then in the last couple of years, we've had a couple of groups, Samuels and LP Brown, that have developed automatic bagging systems, where they're actually just basically have one person behind a gin stand now. And then we're going to hear, I guess this later on in the session, about a brand new bale packaging system, something that is revolutionary different than what we've seen in the gins before. Again, improving speed and reducing labor. Of course, that labor, since we've been handling rounds, have kind of moved from the back of gin. Now we spend more time or have more labor up front in the module handling part of the gin using the round modules. Gins are also, of course, increasing speed and capacity by increasing the equipment width. You know, it's surprising how many of these 12-foot wide cleaning and gin stands that are going in. I guess we've had two new gins built recently, and both of them have used the 12-foot wide 244 saw, I think, for the Cherokee gins in their systems. This of course offers the opportunity to improve capacity while minimizing the number of independent systems you have. Of course, the problem results there. If one system goes down, then you have, you know, half of your gin or a third of your gin not running, where if you have 4 to 5 stands, if one's not running, is not quite so bad. Of course, the big limiting factor in the gin has been the bale press. How many bales per hour can we package? Typically, most bale presses are set up at 45 to 60 bales per hour. There are modifications you can add to increase the hydraulic speed and reduce and tweak some of the times in there to get that up to 75 and 80 bales per hour. The other trend we're seeing is the use of gin byproducts. Many of our gins, especially in the Mid-South, have incorporated lint recovery systems into the gin. This is where they're going through their gin trash and looking for fibers. They're taking those fibers out and packaging them up and putting them into the moat systems. Also, gin trash, because it is a biodegradable organic type material, has had some good uses for different types of things. Of course, it's used for feed and bedding situations in cattle, as well as composting. So how do we compete in this kind of technology? Of course, you know, being a tech transfer coordinator, my first one is adopting new technology. We look forward to adding new technology to the gin to improve capacity and volume. Education is critical, at not only of the workers, but also management, incorporation of best management practices, and of course, being with the three different ginning research labs, a good strong support of your ginning research program. And then, of course, gins have to vertically integrate in their processing of operations, where that's either storage of bales, handling seed, or other commodities that they're doing through the gin. Education, as I said, is critical. Here's an identification of our gin schools, one in Lubbock, Mesilla Park, and Stoneville. And, of course, as you all know, we have the gin certification program and continuing education. So we like to see all the ginners and gin managers come to this program. I think they've been very viable. They continue to thrive, and we hope to get more people into them. And we'll move pretty fast. Best management practices. Of course, this is critical for gins to incorporate. I won't run through these. Moisture management is extremely important. Keeping up with your air velocities and energy monitoring systems as well. And as I see my time is running out, let me summarize what are gins looking for every opportunity to improve the bottom line. And that's by increasing capacity, increasing annual volume, increasing the value of the bale, not only the quality of the cotton in the bale, but also the weight of the bale helps to increase that value. And, of course, increasing the value of the byproducts coming from the gin, reducing labor cost, operating cost, and then providing additional services. Again, I'd like to thank my co-authors and both the National Cotton Ginners and Cotton Incorporated for their support with my work. Thank you.